We welcome to the program this weekend Ohio Health Heart Memorial Hospital Administrative Nurse Manager Ryan Newland is here. Ryan, welcome, sir.
Thanks, Dennis. Good to be here.
Great to have you. Welcome back to the show. The Director of Rehab Services, Tim Plumley, welcome.
Thank you. It's great, good to be here.
Great to have you. RN Care Manager Erica Wilcox is back as well.
Hello, Dennis. Thank you very much for having us.
Great to have you. And the new Media and Public Relations Senior Consultant, Olivia Weiss, is here. Olivia.
Thanks. Good to be here, too.
Great to have you all here. We're talking about the Heart Memorial Hospital Swing Bed Program. And Erica and Ryan, I understand that you two were here when the program was a nascent program, and you were on the show talking about that then in 2022, correct?
Yeah, that's correct, Dennis. It's been some time, and it's been a great journey.
Time flies when you're having fun, right? That's what the old saying goes, and you're having fun, I assume.
Yeah, a lot of fun, and a lot of great work has gone on into this, Dennis, and just seeing the outcomes that the patients have had with the program has been extremely rewarding. So being here on the front end to talk about the service that we're going to offer, what was enjoyable to launch that service, but almost 4 years in, just seeing the outcomes for the patients, it's been extraordinarily rewarding.
Why don't we jump in and refresh people? What is the swing bed program all about?
Yeah, so swing bed, it could be looked at as a bridge from hospital to home. So it's for the patient that has had an acute hospital stay many times where they can't return home safely yet. They need a little bit of a rehab stay so that they can get home safely. So the swing bed provides that rehab service to them, or the skilled nursing care to them, to help them get ready to safely go home. And it's usually somewhere between a 1 to a 2 week stay.
Yeah. Who makes the determination as whether this would be best for them?
The referral pretty much starts with me, Dennis. I do get them from the surrounding county hospitals and primarily our Marion Sister Hospital. The referral process, we like to keep under 30 minutes with the team that is here. We all look at it, take a brief look at insurance coverage, the need for the patient, and as long as we can meet that need, there's no exclusion, we accept the patient.
Yeah, so this is beneficial again to the patient. There are a lot of benefits, correct? A
lot of benefits. Yeah. Insurance companies are really, really looking very closely at swing bed programs because it decreases their members' readmission risk.
Now, when it comes to therapy services, Tim, again, it's beneficial. This is when you come in.
Oh, correct. Yeah, I think we probably play a very large role, maybe an oversized role in the swing bed unit, because frequently what keeps someone from being able to return home safely is their mobility or their ability to, you know, do their daily livings, take care of themselves, get a meal around. So it's a group effort with the therapy services, the case management, so that we can match what the patient's abilities are with what their home setting is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very important step, is that we match the patients to the setting that they're going, and that we get them ready for that. So I think we play a huge role in it. And as Ryan said earlier, it is very rewarding from our standpoint because the patients make tremendous gains in 7 to 10 days. It's been quite remarkable, actually, how far some of our patients have gone in that short window.
Prior to that, it would have been a longer process, do you feel?
Yeah, so prior to 2022, we weren't able to offer we didn't offer this service at Hardin. Mm-hmm. So part of being a critical access hospital, which we are at Hardin Memorial, allows us to use our beds in multiple fashions. Mm-hmm. One of those ways is for a skilled nursing level of care. So before offering this, the only option that a patient had really was to go to an extended care facility for the skilled nursing rehab. And Erica had mentioned insurance companies earlier. They really love swing beds because they see that it's lower readmissions, but also that we're able to get them prepared to go home a little bit quicker than what a traditional facility might be able to offer them. Their length of stays average between, you know, 20 to 30 days for a rehab stay, and our average is about 8.5. So that's a huge, huge benefit to coming to our program, and that's thanks to the resources that Eric is able to offer them, the nursing team, the skills that they're able to support them with, but hugely to the therapy team. So in many rehab facilities, you may only get rehab once a day. And with our facility, you're getting it 2 to 3 times every single day as you can tolerate that. So Tim, would you want to talk a little bit about some of the things that you're looking at to see if someone's a good fit for the swing bed program?
Sure. I think that, you know, one of the first criteria is what I mentioned earlier, is that we're going to match the patient with the setting that they're going to be discharged to. Mm-hmm. Is that a good match? And then we start to look at their ability to participate. It's not so much how much assistance they need with their activities. It's more their ability to participate and tolerate. You know, at the first few days, it's a couple sessions, 2 to 3 sessions a day of about 30 minutes, but it ramps up pretty quickly to where it's going to be 45 minutes. You know, can you tolerate 45 minutes of activity? And it's all types of things. You know, it's from a physical therapy standpoint, it's going to be, you know, like repeated transfers, you know, to build your strength and endurance. It's going to be exercise balances, balance activities, you know, going up and down the steps. And then also with occupational therapy, more functional tasks such as dressing and bathing, and then progressing down the line. If the patient is there long enough, you know, you get to higher level activities. And then occasionally we have some that require speech as well. That's part mm-hmm. of it. We don't do a great deal of that, but if it's needed, we do that as well. So, you know, we get together as a group and we look and say that we don't always agree on whether the patient should come or not, but we get together and we have a discussion. You know, we look, you know, are they stable? Are their blood pressure, are their vital signs stable enough to tolerate what we're going to ask them to do? Are their pain levels? Will they do it? And sometimes it's a direct question, and Erica's very good at this with the patient. It's like, do you want this? You know, because there has to be a certain buy-in from the patient that yes, I know it's going to be difficult, and I want to be part of this because I know that I'm going to be more independent once I get through it.
Yeah, take us through. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brian.
No, as you were talking about that, Tim, I was thinking about some of the patients that you talked about, that internal conversation where we're like, I'm not sure if they're going to be a fit. I'm not sure if they can do it. And the big thing is, like, if they're willing to participate, they have a goal to try to get home. Yeah. And we're seeing that they're willing to put in the effort. Like, we've taken some really challenging patients and cases in the past, and I've watched this therapy team work miracles with them, and they've exceeded what their goal was. When we looked at them, they were like a 2-person max assist, like just to stand up. And by the end of their, you know, their 10 days, they're walking down the hall. And many places might say, we're not sure if we can accommodate, you know, that patient. But if they have that drive to try to participate, and we see what their previous level of functioning was, we're gonna try to take them and see what we can do to help them achieve their goal. And I think some of the data that we've seen over the 4 years is that we can be successful in helping them reach their goals. We're at about 93% of patients obtaining their goals when they come into the program and reaching their desired discharge destination.
Take us through the patient typically referred to. Has it come through a surgery, a typical injury, or tell us about the patients referred?
There's a variety of patients that come through for referrals. A lot of them are their elective surgeries for total hips, total mm-hmm. knees, or an injury that has occurred. Most definitely, they have fallen and something has been fractured. It needed to be surgically repaired, and that patient is just not properly prepared to go home after such an event. It could be a disease process that has now become much worse, and they're just requiring some conservative energy modifications to their life. So a variety of reasons that they could be admitted into the swing bed. So it's always worth a shot to mm-hmm. give our team the opportunity to review to see if we can offer our best to that patient for homegoing goal.
And every patient is different, correct? I mean, no two ways work for the same patients.
Right, and that's where Tim and his team are just exceptional. Yes, they really do an individualized plan of care, and it shows. With the success rate that Ryan has mentioned, 93% is pretty phenomenal that we return all, 93% of our patients do return to their home from our program.
Yeah. Dennis, you mentioned individualized, the word individualized, and it reminded me of a story. We had a patient this last fall that came to us from the Marion area. She had worked at a Carroll's Jewelers store here in Kenton, Ohio, and she had a long hospitalization and she needed some support, and they provided her with some discharge options at Marion General Hospital, and Hardin swing bed was one of those options for her. And she, when I talked to this patient, she said, they told me we have something in Kenton that we could send you to for rehab. And she goes, Kenton, I'm familiar with Kenton, tell me more. And she said, as soon as I found out that the nurse to patient ratios were low, that they had private restrooms and individualized care, I was like, sign me up, I'm going to Kenton. And so we thought she was probably going to need, you know, up to a few weeks of rehab because she had significant needs. And we were able to get her home and reach her goals within 10 days. And she came back and she said, your program was absolutely phenomenal. I didn't feel like a number. I felt like part of the family. And that's the way our staff view, you know, our patients at the hospital. It's super individualized. Yeah. We connect with them on a personal level, and you really do feel like someone that truly matters to our team because they treat you like family there.
Yeah, so this is like 4 years of this success, and so you do have those stories to talk about, which is music to your ears, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. It fills your bucket for sure, and the team, they feel a large sense of purpose around that work.
So Tim, when people hear physical therapy, it kind of brings fear into a lot of people's minds, right? So how do you approach that and take the sting out of it?
Well, you're correct in that a lot of people have fear, but I think it's in the manner in which we approach it as from the physical therapist. And you know, I can give, and the occupational therapist, and the nurses as well. We can go in and you know, try to demand something, but that's not really going to be successful. We and when I sit with our therapist and Rich, who's the kind of the lead physical therapist there, does a great job with, is that we try to inch you from step to step. Yeah. We try to break everything down into smaller steps. And I remember, I think she was from Bell Fountain, and I'm telling you what, she surprised me by the end, because when I did the evaluation, I thought there's no way we're going to help this patient, but we really broke it down. Like the first couple sessions, we're really just moving the leg to the edge of the bed.
Yeah. How many of them go through and they go, that wasn't as bad as I thought?
I think that's probably most of them, to be honest with you, that you kind of forget the hard days sometimes because you're thankful for what you get to.
When you start seeing the improvement?
Yeah, seeing the improvement. It's once we can get you up onto your feet and you start walking, things start to fall into place.
I'm curious about follow-up care when they do get home. Do you involve families in this?
Yes, we do a caregiver readiness prior to their discharge, several days prior leading up to it. We encourage family or whoever's going to be caregiver to the individual to come in and actually observe the therapist with the patients. So those modification activities can be seen with their own eyes. We can teach them what is best practice for the patient. And it is truly a team approach with a sideline cheerleaders, I tell you. I mean, this is just exceptional work.
I see even part of the team member would be dietitians. I mean, correct. The diet, all that's important. It all works together, correct?
A nutritionist reviews their charts for the nutritional need, again, for the healing and to remain able to participate with an energy level. So it's an all-inclusive pharmacist. And, you know, myself as care management with insurance, Ryan and his nursing team, Tim and his therapy team, It truly is a very large network of people out there for an individual goal for that patient to return home.
People working behind the scenes to get all the paperwork submitted to your insurance. That's a relief in and of itself, isn't it?
Yes, it is a relief to them when I approach them and tell them they've been approved and I can review those terms and conditions with a patient. But yes, it is a process, but it's definitely very rewarding.
This is amazing for Kenton, Ohio, to have this kind of a program. It's really kind of unheard of. We're a small town. We're not supposed to have this, are we?
Yeah, so it is something that's very unique. Yeah. You know, your larger care centers don't have the ability to offer this. And so it's a blessing for us to be able to offer it. And in those 4 years, we've served well over 300 people and have been able to impact their lives significantly.
Yeah, it's a great program. A lot of other things happening at the hospital as well. What else do we want to talk about?
Yeah, so thanks for asking, Dennis. It's an exciting time at Hardin Memorial. We know that it's important to let the community know what we have to offer. And some of the things that we found that some community members aren't aware of is that they can come to Hardin Memorial for their acute care needs, many of their acute care needs. A couple of the programs that we're super proud to offer at the hospital, being part of a larger system in Ohio Health, is our virtual neurology program. And most recently, just launched in March, virtual cardiology consults. And that's been really huge because we can offer consistent specialty consult services in the inpatient world to where you don't have to be transferred 30 to 60 miles away. You can see a specialist right within the walls of Hardin Memorial Hospital. And that's huge. You know, it's hard enough to be in the hospital, Dennis, in your own community, but to be in the hospital 30 to 60 miles away, that's a whole nother conversation. So really happy to be able to offer those two services. Those are two inpatient services right now that we're really happy that we have.
Yeah, so yeah, like you said, it really does help in recovery efforts when you know you're close to home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, we really want the public to understand that we can meet your needs. We can meet them within the hospital many times, and I think sometimes there's a perception that if you come to the emergency department at Hardin Memorial that you are going to have to be transferred to another hospital if you have anything significant going on, and there are times that you are sick enough that you have to go to a larger center.
Sure.
And the blessing that you have with choosing Hardin is that we're tied into this system and network with a family of hospitals that we can get you to those specialists. We have very good transfer services that we can get you there if necessary. But many times we're able to support you at Hardin. And when I talk to the patients at Hardin Memorial, they've been a lot of places sometimes. And what they say is, no one does it better than you guys. If I have to be in the hospital, I want to be here. And so we're just looking to continue to expand those services, those inpatient services, as much as we can so that we can keep our community close to home.
Yeah, there's got to be something about looking out your window and recognizing the landscape out there, your home, right?
That's funny you say that. When I round on patients, one of the things that I like to do is get to know them a little bit, and I often ask them, where's home for you? And I can't tell you how many times they've pointed out the window and said, over there, you know? And we're just glad to be here, you know, for the community.
Yeah. Let's talk about that new on-site MRI. That's a biggie, isn't it?
Yeah, huge. So this has been a long time in the making, and in December of this year, something else we just want the community to know is that we have consistent MRI coverage. You don't have to go out of town to get your MRI. If you have an acute injury, you don't have to wait until later in the week to have it. We have Monday through Friday availability. We have permanent on-site MRI now. So that was a huge project and another great thing to offer for the community.
Yeah. Used to be a trailer.
It did. Mobile trailer. It used to be a trailer, and it would come in 1.5 days a week. And if you had something happen in between, you'd have to wait or you'd have to go somewhere else, and that's no longer the case.
Right. Which was better than nothing, but now it's even better, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
A lot going on, new surgeon joining.
Yes. So happy to announce that we have a new surgeon joining our team, a general surgeon. Her name's Dr. Katarina Lee. She comes to us from Marion General Hospital, and she spends time in Marion and Hardin. And so we have surgery coverage now available each week, at least one day through the week. So we have clinic times available that you can see a surgeon right here in town. And if you have an outpatient surgery that they can support, then you can have that surgery here as well.
You know, I think that one thing that COVID did, really the good stuff that come out of it, would be telehealth. And I think that you're connected to bigger city hospitals and their specialty services connected right here really got enhanced more during COVID, didn't it? And it didn't go away.
For
it only gets better.
But you bring up a great point. Like, COVID was one of the toughest times in healthcare that any of us in this generation remember. And there were a lot of bad things that happened during COVID. But one of the blessings, you know, is we understood how to use our technology differently. And so offering those telehealth services has been a huge blessing, especially for the rural care sites. And I think we're just scratching the surface, Dennis. You know, this has been a huge success. Just since we launched in March, we've had 9 patients just in the month of March that would have had to have been transferred to another hospital that have been able to get that same care here at Hardin. I think back to a story in the emergency department where a patient was having some neurological issues, and the family said, "We want to go to Riverside. We know they're the best." And so I was talking with them and having a conversation and said, "Are you aware of our virtual neurology program?" And they weren't. And so I talked to them about what that was. And really what it was, we're not going to displace you and your family, and you're going to get the same surgeon that is at the top of their game, that same specialist seeing you in the room. So very, very cool to be able to offer that for our community.
I want to bring in Olivia before we totally run out of time, because with all we're talking about and everything going on and what HMH is so involved in the community, it's got to make your job a little easier.
Yeah, it's so great to hear this group talk about all the exciting things happening at the hospital and in the community. Yes, it really does make it easier to be able to share this with the community to say, hey, we're really here for you. We're making these changes to have this care available close to home for you. And I was curious to ask this team kind of, what does the future of that look like? We're talking about all the new things happening right now. What does the future of care look like for the Hardin community? What does the future of the swing bed program look like?
Endless.
Yeah.
We would be our own barrier, and I think this team doesn't like barriers. We like to break them down, find solutions to problems, and make it work.
Yeah. You're always assessing, Olivia, what are the needs of the community? What is it that we're not offering now that we can offer in the future? What is needed? And, you know, we're tied into this system that wants to do everything at the very top tier, you know, an elite system that's always looking for the most cutting-edge technology, the most cutting-edge ways to do things. And, you know, I think AI plays a role in that as well. It allows us to be more accurate in the way that we read diagnostic studies. It allows us to be more efficient in the way that we take care of patients. I think that's huge in the upcoming years, and so it'll be interesting to see what that looks like. But as Erica said, when a problem comes our way or we hear about something, we want to know, you know, how can we lean into this and you know, have success and create a great opportunity for our community to have access to care and local services.
And unfortunately, I'm sorry, go ahead, Olivia.
No, I was just saying that's great.
And And the last thing I wanted to share, Dennis, was we have 2 more really cool things.
Yes.
We're putting in EV charging stations in
the
parking lot. We're going to put 4, install 4. We're getting the final permitting done, and those will be up and running very soon. And then we've transitioned our urgent care into the medical office building right next to the hospital. And that's an awesome opportunity for the community because we have hours as early as 7 in the morning. So 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, and then 9 to noon on Saturday. And you can just walk in. You can just walk in and be seen. You don't need to make an appointment. But if you want to make an appointment, you certainly can make an appointment as well. And that's a great opportunity. Like if you don't have a provider currently to go see them at the walk-in care, and they'll get you established with the provider. So something great to be able to offer.
I'm glad you were able to get that in. Very important. But Tim, any final comments from you before I let you kind of sat back and took it all in there for a minute?
Near the end, Ryan and Erica had plenty to say, but I just want to elaborate on what Erica said as far as barriers. She and I talk, and you know, I love the challenge of it, maybe even more than what everyone else would like to, is how can we find a way to even accept the more challenging patients? And some of that is changing the way that we look at it. Some of it is maybe there's equipment needs that we need. And it's a process, because we have to develop that buy-in from everywhere. And I think that we've been successful in helping patients that we didn't think maybe we could. And we'll keep pushing that and see where we can get it. So I think the swing bed is going to look different a couple years from now than what it currently does. Even though it's great right now, it's going to be even better.
Mm-hmm. That is a great way to put a wrap on the show. Tim Plumley, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dennis.
Appreciate it. Ryan Newland, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And Erica Wilcox, thank you very much. And Olivia Weiss, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Dennis.
First of many programs. Come back and visit again, won't you?
Mm-hmm.